going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This is Luke McCaffrey, and you're listening to Roster Watch. Roster Watch Nation, what is up and welcome back to the Epic Dynasty Show here with the Trash Man and Cody Carpentier. It's Roster Watch, baby. Dynasty, it's Friday and we're in May. We're in May of all months of the year, the boringest months of the year for fantasy football. But we're here to talk about Dynasty rankings and we're here to debate why one of us has some of these players significantly higher and significantly lower in the Dynasty Top 250 over at RosterWatch.com. Go over to RosterWatch.com, become a pro or a premium member today. But Trash Man, are you ready to debate some of these dynasty rankings?
Let's fight.
Let's start out with Drake London. I know we did a couple of buy or sell shows this week. You did a couple with Alex. I did one with Alex. And Drake London's name was brought up amongst that conversation. If you go over and look at the top 250 right now over on Roster Watch, Drake London is a very high-ranking player in our top 250. 11th overall consensus is his grade. You have him at 8. I have him at 19. You're more bullish on London, where I'm more bullish on Jackson Smith and Jigba. From my share and the Jackson Smith and Jigba part, I wasn't really going to bring up Jackson Smith and Jigba, but he's actually taken on quite a bit of new weaponry or a whole entire new setting, whereas Drake London just kind of feels like it's the same situation it was in last year and it can only grow with Michael Penix. Is that kind of how you view that whole situation?
I mean, well, when Michael Penix came under center for the Falcons, in those five games, Drake London was a top five receiver. I mean, like, he had some massive output. So to me, if whenever Penix is in the game, he's a top five receiver, Penix gets a whole season with him, there's a pretty good chance he'll be a top five receiver for the entirety of the season. I don't know. I mean, top five, that's the upside we're looking at, you know, but I still think his floor will be really, I think his floor will be top 10. But I think with the potential that Michael Penix brings to Drake London's game, absolutely, he's a premier wide receiver one.
Those final three games of the season this last year, 22 receptions on 39 targets for 352 yards and two touchdowns. That's approximately 23 PPR points per game, as Trashman brought up. I think I might need to make a little bit of an adjustment here, but like our consensus top receivers, obviously, is, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, Chase, Jefferson, Lamb, and Neighbors. Then after that, that's kind of where the, shaking comes in. It's where you have London 5th overall. At wide receiver, I have Jackson Smith and Jigba 5th overall. I think I have London a little bit further down, maybe at like 9 at the wide receiver position behind Puka and Amon-Ra. I think I could move him ahead of Amon-Ra, to be honest with you, as my first thought. I kind of like that because for every reason that we could talk about Ted Earl McMillan. I know you have thoughts on him too, but for every reason like I kind of lean into the Ted Earl McMillan thing, I think I could easily – equally understand boosting Drake London given what we've already seen from Drake London as a pro.
I mean, in just relation to Amon-Ra St. Brown, Drake London is 2 years younger than him.
Yeah.
So that factors into Dynasty.
Yeah. All right. James Cook, another running back here. We have a 22 spot difference in the Dynasty rankings between James Cook for yourself and for me. James Cook, I have at 48. You have him at 26 as a consensus. Makes sense. We're sitting at about 34. Overall, his key trade cut number is 41. James Cook's entering his age 25 season in Buffalo. And I'll just be honest with you, my first instinct, and I moved him down 12 spots post-draft, even though they didn't exactly add anything worth of caring, other than the fact that we've seen Ty Johnson and Ray Davis take on a pretty you know, vast receiving role in this offense, which is surprising because I think they had three times the touchdowns and like twice as many receptions and targets that James Cook had this past year, which worries me because I think of James Cook, I think of a guy that catches passes out of the backfield. The touchdowns were there this last year, but from a contractual standpoint, I am a little bit worried about the future, and I guess that's kind of why I moved him down about a dozen spots in this last update.
I mean, I guess, you know, there's a little bit of worry, but I mean, come on, the guy tied for the rushing lead in touchdowns in 2024 with Derrick Henry and Jahmyr Gibbs. That's rarefied air.
Yeah.
If it was any other name, you know, who maybe brought more gravitas, James Cook would be. I mean, I'd be justified putting James Cook there. I mean, it's just because, one, he has pedigree. He's Dalvin Cook's brother. I mean, like, what else really do we need to say? The proof is in the pudding. He's producing on field. He has the pedigree. I think for whatever reason, we just don't want to give Cook his due. We don't want to let him cook. You know, the contract negotiation. I mean, I think he's an elite running back in the league. I mean, pay the guy. Pay somebody on your offense other than Josh Allen. You know?
It's hard when these guys are $250,000 players or half billion dollar players. It's like,
I mean, it's just like they need, you know, they need another cog in an offense other than Josh Allen.
Speaking of which, if this is off topic, but like if you had a thought right now, because Buffalo, we'll talk about this on a different show, but if there's one receiver in that offense that you would trust this year, who's kind of like your early lean? For me, I kind of like the sleeping idea of Keon Coleman.
I mean, I'd love it to be Keon Coleman. I don't know that it will be. For me, it's probably, honestly, I think.
Don't say Shakir.
No, I'm not going to say Shakir. I'm definitely not going to say Shakir. I'd never say Shakir. To me, it's between Elijah Moore and Curtis Samuel. I mean, I think.
Ooh, I love that.
I mean, Elijah Moore has never really had the opportunity to thrive in an offense with a good quarterback. I mean, coming into the league, this is a guy we thought was an earth mover when he came into the league. Can break open big plays over the middle. He can do the things that Shakir does except better. And break open bigger plays. To me, I think if Elijah Moore actually gets a shot, gets opportunities, I think he could be that guy. Or Curtis Samuel, for that matter. We've seen Curtis Samuel produce when given, you know, significant targets.
And they loved him. I was up at the Buffalo Bills. I didn't go to the Bills training camp, but I went to the Steelers camp, and they had a practice with Buffalo. And all I heard was positive stuff about Samuel, but he had a turf toe that really slowed down his first offseason in Buffalo. Speaking of slot receivers, though, Ladd McConkey is one differentiator we have here where keep trade cuts in line with me. I have him at 20 overall in Dynasty, Ladd McConkey from the Chargers. Keep trade cut has him at 20. You're about 10 spots lower. You have him at 31. You have, infamously the last couple of days talked about Trey Harris in this offense. I'm not as much of a worry or with Trey Harris taking on any of Ladd McConkey's alpha opportunities. Not that he's getting, I mean, he's got 112 targets last year. It's not like this massive undertaking of, you know, like 170 targets or anything, but he had 1150 yards last year and 7 touchdowns as a rookie. Maybe I'm a little high, but I feel like where he's at right now, he's 24 years old. Like, I feel like I could make an argument to put him ahead of, you know, I put him ahead of Garrett Wilson already. I feel like I could make I could probably put him ahead of Nico Collins if I really wanted to.
I mean, I think that Ladd McConkey's success was largely predicated on the fact that there weren't really any other capable pass catchers in the offense. I mean, yeah, I think he's a chain mover. I think adding somebody like Trey Harris, bringing Mike Williams back, I mean, I think that lessens his touchdown opportunities. I think he'll still probably be a 1,000-yard receiver. But also you're upping that running back game. You're improving your running back game with bringing O'Marion Hampton in. Who can catch the ball too.
Yep.
to me, I just don't – I mean, I think he's got a great floor. I don't know that McConkey is going to have the upside that we saw in his rookie season. Let me see.
So you think we're just a little bit high on our skis. So, like, him and Garrett Wilson are, like, kind of back-to-back right now on keep trade cut, for example. And I just moved Ladd ahead of Garrett Wilson. But Wilson, I guess to the same thought here, he's literally got Josh Reynolds in his receiver room.
Right. He's got Josh Reynolds. He's a better receiver than McConkey. I mean, he's more than a chain mover. I could move McConkey. I could put him ahead of AJ Brown just based on age.
Yeah.
I suppose. But between, you know, the next highest guy, yeah, I don't want to put him over Garrett Wilson.
That's fair. I think I'm going to come down below Garrett. I'm going to move him down a couple of spots below Garrett. I'll adjust on that for sure. But I don't think I want to come down to that T. Higgins area. I'm not going to drop into the 30s or anything. I think I'm going to keep him, like you said, ahead of A.J. Brown. Who's the other receiver that's right there? Probably that's it. Travis Hunter? He keeps saying Travis Hunter needs to be higher and higher and higher. I don't want to do that. I think we're both pretty low. You're 7 spots lower than keep trade cut. I'm 13 spots lower than keep trade cut on Travis.
On Travis?
And that's kind of the same area of Ladd, sort of.
I will say this. If we're gonna get higher on Hunter, then we have to get lower on Thomas. Yeah, I mean,
I don't really want to do that.
The offense it can sustain both of those players to that level.
I think that's fair. Here's a running back that you loved. I think you still love him, and he didn't really have that much, adding onto his plate in Tampa Bay. Mr. Bucky Irving, you've come down. I don't know when you did it. If you adjusted overnight, one of these, last couple of nights, and I was like, whoa, all of a sudden I'm the one that's higher on Bucky Irving. What kind of was the adjustment here? So I have him at 25. You have him at 35. The consensus cuts us in half at 30. That's keep trade cut with the consensus. He's age 23. Rashad White's still there. He loses Liam Cohen. They add some weaponry on the outside with Ibuka in the first round. I was just kind of like, looked at you as the Bucky Irving guy. What's kind of shifted in your mind as far as Bucky Irving goes?
Honestly, I think that was just mostly an artifact of moving other guys up.
Yeah.
And not really considering Irving in that mix. I mean, just kind of leaving him where he was instead of considering him after moving those players up. So, I mean, I'm down to move Irving back up. In fact, I think I probably will. He's only 23. I mean, I could put him up there. I mean, I could put him up right behind Travion Henderson,
who we have at 23 consensus, 24 consensus. I like that. I mean, so like I said, I got my 25. Travion's at 22. The other player we can just lump into this conversation is Kyren Williams, because for you, they're back to back. And I'm 10 spots higher than you on Bucky, but I'm 25 spots lower than you on Kyren. Head to head, they're back to back right now. You said you're going to move Bucky up. You'd considerably like him more than Kyren. He's 2 years younger.
Yeah, like Bucky more than Kyren.
Yeah.
I think he's a bit more dynamic of a player. I don't hate Kyren. I think we wanted to relegate him to just kind of a back in a good situation there in LA. But the thing is, he keeps outplaying all the other guys that they bring in. And he's still only 25. I mean, he's only gotten better, every season that he's been in the NFL.
You're not worried, but they just keep adding weapons though. They just keep, like, they added obviously Quorum last year. Rivers is zero at this point, but they added Jarquez Hunter this year, and Kyren's contract technically is up after this year, unless we get some sort of like midseason Chuba Hubbard type deal, which, I mean, it could make sense, but based on how they've drafted, it just like It's the logical thing we've always talked about at the running back position from the NFL draft perspective, in that never draft a guy in the first, second round, draft him in the third, fourth, fifth, and just let their contracts expire and move on and keep on. And they found their type. Their body types are pretty apparent what they love. And it's all these guys are built the exact same, kind of have similar speed and navigability, vision, et cetera, et cetera. Like, from the outside looking in, it seems pretty obvious that they're going to let him walk, but I think I agree with Alex, where Alex said, like, who else in the NFL is going to give Kyren that opportunity share?
I mean, if Kyren Williams, you know, scores 14 touchdowns again this season and goes for 1,300 rushing yards and catches passes, you know, somebody's going to give him a shot. Yeah. They'd be remiss not to. I mean, come on, based on those statistics. I mean, we have a guy who in 2023, didn't he set a record for like rushing attempts. What it was, 140 over 140 rushing yards, six catches over 60 receiving yards, and multiple touchdowns. The first time in NFL history that's ever been done. I mean, come on, we have to give the guy some credit.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's fair. Back-to-back seasons, 15-plus touchdowns, over 1,200 yards, 30-plus receptions. Like,
I mean, who's not? I mean, are you really not going to give that guy a chance if he comes out?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Like, a year from now, if he's a free agent, he's going to be 25.6 years old.
Yeah, but they give Najee Harris. Najee Harris gets picked up by a running back needy team.
But he got $12 and he got drafted over.
I mean, that's fine, you know. But he's still getting a chance. Okay. I mean, I think we're assuming that Hampton has the job over, and which he probably will get. But Harris is going to get his opportunities there. It's like we're treating Kyren Williams like he's chopped liver, like we treated him at the beginning of last season when they drafted Blake Corum. We thought he was going to take the role, and he didn't. I don't want to keep making that mistake as long as Williams is producing.
That's fair. And there is other, you know, there's people from the Rams organization that have departed, like Minnesota. Minnesota obviously didn't draft a running back this year. They got Jordan Mason and Aaron Jones. That could be a spot. Jaguars have just a combusted running back room right now. We'll see what happens with that this year. So there's plenty of spots that could come open. Let's talk about one more running back before we go back to wide receiver. Chase Brown is a couple more spots down on this list. You have him at 49. I have him at 36. I guess it's pretty much a similar role to Kyren Williams. He's the same age as Kyren Williams. He got Taj Brooks into his backfield. And I'll be honest with you, Trashman, as I'm even reading off where I have him vis-a-vis you and Keep Trade Cut, as much as I've loved Taj Brooks, the running back from Texas Tech, and as much as I've drafted Taj Brooks, the running back from Texas Tech, the last 2 weeks in my rookie drafts, I know he was a sixth-round pick, but this guy's got 2 1,000-yard seasons. I love everything that Taj Brooks brings, and I wonder what that role looks like, because we know a year ago they didn't want to give Chase Brown the Kyren Williams opportunity share. They just did it because Zach Moss got hurt. So I think, as I'm saying this, I think I'm probably going to come down on Chase Brown. How do you see him compared to those two guys we just talked about?
Compared to Kyren Williams? I mean, I don't think he's as good as a between the tackles runner as Kyren Williams. Chase Brown wasn't built for the role that he's in. I mean, like, that's not what we were expecting when we saw him at the Senior Bowl. He was a decent pass catching back who was a little bit, you know, a little bit maybe too eager. But we didn't see him in this role. And I don't know that the Bengals envisioned him in this role when they got him, but he worked his way there and it worked out for him last season. I just don't know with a full season in that role, Chase Brown will hold up well. Whereas I do think Kyren Williams can over a full season. So that's the difference there with Bucky Irving. Yet Brown just isn't the player, the dynamic player that Bucky Irving is. Brown, I think, is a bigger benefactor of his situation than Kyren Williams is. And so that's kind of how I treated him.
That's fair. I think that's right too. Cause I think I'm a little bit high, and I think I realized it when I was going through here and I wrote his name down. I'm like, man, I think I'm wrong. But that would also make all three of us, you, me, and Kedre Cut in line. And that does worry me a little bit, just to be like, I want the role, like what they showed us last year with Chase Brown was to me, it felt like the next coming of the Chase Brown or the Kyren Williams situation. But then they only drafted a 6th-round pick on Taj Brooks. 54 receptions last year for Chase Brown, 990 yards, 7 rushing touchdowns, 4 receiving touchdowns, 1,300 yards from scrimmage in his second season. I'm very much up in the air as far as what I should expect from Chase Brown. I guess another player I'm kind of in the same situation for is Marvin Harrison Jr., who I still have, and I don't know why I'm doing this to myself, but I have him really high.
Yeah, you do. Why are you doing that to yourself?
So I have him at 13 overall in Dynasty, so the top 4 running backs, obviously Chase, Jefferson, Lamb, Neighbors, we talked about that earlier. And then after that, I move down to Jackson Smith and Jigba, and then Puka, and then Marv, before I drop to Brian Thomas Jr. So Marv is 13th overall. He's 23 years old in Arizona. They added nothing in the wide receiver room. They obviously had Trey McBride. The offense should roll the same as it was last year. He had 116 targets last year. Only caught 62 of them, 885 yards, 8 touchdowns. I think Trashman, what it is he came in as a rookie, pulled in a 22% target share, which I think is pretty massive. Had 7 games with a touchdown in it. And to be quite frank, I saw flashes in certain games. I saw flashes in – I can't remember who they played, that if it was the Rams or if it was the Dolphins. But it was a home game, and the first half they threw 4 footballs to him. I think it was 4 for 130 and a touchdown in like the first quarter. And it was off the heels of like, we need to get Marv the ball. They did that in the first quarter, and then they didn't throw to him again the rest of the game. And I was like
– Yeah, you see flashes, but that's all they are.
But here's the thing, and you know this, I don't think any of us were really that big of fans of Marv coming out, other than the fact that we just knew he was a really good football player. It was more so that I think we were consensus across the board. I know me and Alex, you had Neighbors ahead of Marv at the end?
Yeah.
Okay, so we were consensus on Neighbors, and that we were right, right? And here's the thing is, like, in an alternate universe, if we were wrong and Marv was the guy, Marv would be looked at as a top 5 asset right now in Dynasty. At the wide receiver position, potentially up to like number 1. I talked to a few people in the Dynasty space that don't really talk on shows and stuff, but they play a lot, and they're like, Neighbors is the best receiver you want in Dynasty right now. He's got multiple years on Chase, Jefferson, and Lamb. Like, this is the point at which you pivot to a guy like Neighbors. And I just wonder, when you look at like what Marv has right now on the table in front of him, which is Greg Dortch, Zay Jones, and Michael Wilson, who I love me some Michael Wilson. I loved me some Zay Jones. Greg Dortch, you've loved at the camps and stuff. But Marv's the alpha in that offense outside of Trey McBride, who's going
to
lead them in target.
They want him to be the alpha. He should be the alpha. Will he be the alpha? That's the question. Will he be the alpha for a consistent stretch? That's the question. We know that Harrison has the ability. It's just that he disappears at times, and you can't have that. And, you're number one wide receiver. It's just the kind of situation where it's just like on week to week. So it's like, is he going to produce for me? Is he going to, help me win my league this week? And maybe not. He's not a guy that has proven himself to be reliable in fantasy. And that's what you need out of a player that you're going to be ranking that high. So that's why I have him down, whereas it's not that I don't think he's good. I just don't think he's been good consistently enough compared to some of these other guys that I have around him. I'd love him. I'd love him to do it. I'd love to see it out of him.
All right,
kid. But
I'm going to move him. I'm going to move him down to 31, right after Stroud. And as far as wide receivers go, that's going to be after Garrett Wilson, after Nico. That'll be after Ladd, but it'll still be ahead of T. Higgins. I'm going to go 31, so I'm going to drop him down. I'm going to drop him 18 spots.
Maybe
us in the middle.
I might put him over Jordan Addison. I'm going to move him up one spot.
Thank you. You need to at least do that. I mean, Addison's great, but there's a lot of weaponry in Minnesota. I think Marv's going to out-target him, and he'll give you some more boom games than Madison will, unless Jefferson goes down. So there we go. Meeting in the middle on Marv. Let's finish with these two guys right here. Jalen Waddle, who Tyreek Hill is in the center of conversations right now, at least in Miami, him and Ramsey, as far as will they be traded, will they be dealt, and then George Pickens. You have them 60 and 61 back-to-back. I have Waddle 79, which is 19 spots lower. And I have Pickens, who I adjusted literally this week because of the Dallas move, up 20 spots to 44th overall at the wide receiver position. Again, Pickens is still 24. Waddle is 27. If Tyreek Hill were to leave, he would be hypothetically vaulted into that wide receiver one spot. I guess you could go any direction you want on this. You're higher than I am on Waddle and lower than I am on Pickens. And you have them side by side. What's your kind of bull case for one of these guys?
I mean, Waddle, we've seen, you know, in a full season from Waddle, what he's capable of, you know, in 2022, when he had, and in 2021, 2022, when he had, you know, over 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns, over 1,000 yards, 6 touchdowns in his rookie year. 2023 and 2024. 2023 still had over 1,000 yards, but only four touchdowns. And then 2024, only 740 yards and 2 touchdowns. I mean, it was a down year for Miami pass catchers in general this past season. But I think he has that upside. I mean, if you're looking at, you know, 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns, that's right where Marvin Harrison Jr. is. So to me, I think he can potentially be in a similar conversation. I mean, and if Tyreek Hill goes, I think that just betters his chances. This is a guy coming out into the draft that we thought of, similar to like how we were thinking of Neighbors and Harris. And we thought he had all the potential in the world. He wasn't utilized as well as he could have been in Alabama just because there was so much other talent there. But, you know, we saw glimpses of, Devontae's Smith type of production there in Alabama. I think that's who he was playing alongside with, and didn't get as many opportunities because of. But we know he's got the upside. We know he's got the talent to be a premier wide receiver in the league. I mean, just alongside Tyreek Hill and with Tua Tagovailoa, who's, you know, has his concussion issues. It's just things haven't lined up for him yet. But I mean, I think they very well could.
All right, let's get out of here on this. I was reading a stat up on X this morning from our guy Nick Arcolano from BDGE. This is the average production under Arthur Smith as a wide receiver one, then followed by the following season after you get away from Arthur Smith, which is what George Pickens is doing right now. A.J. Brown, 998 yards, 8 touchdowns on 62 receptions. The following year, 1,496 yards and 11 touchdowns on 99 receptions. Drake London, 886 yards, 3 touchdowns on 71 receptions. The following year, 1,271 yards and 9 touchdowns on 100 receptions. So both of those guys jumped over 30 receptions and about 400 yards each. George Pickens last year, 900 yards, 3 touchdowns, 59 receptions. George Pickens now departs for Dallas. The difference, A.J. Brown went in from alpha to playing with Devonta Smith. Drake London went from alpha to alpha. He's just been the guy in Atlanta. And now George Pickens goes from being the alpha in that Pittsburgh offense to now being the number two in Dallas. Non-dynasty trash man. First thoughts, May 9th. George Pickens, the number two in Dallas, outscores or is outscored by DK Metcalf?
I think he potentially outscore DK Metcalf. I mean, Mason Rudolph is under center for the entirety of the 2025 season. I mean, that's a wild card. I mean, DK Metcalf, he's going to get the targets for sure. But I mean, I think Pickens could come close in that Cowboys offense. I mean, I'm fine moving Pickens up. I will move Pickens up. It's just the other guys who are around him, like, you know, who I had, like Luther Burden, Tet McMillan, Terry McLaurin. I mean, these are all guys who potentially be number ones on their team. But I feel like Pickens, you know, he was an elite receiver coming out of college. And he's going to get opportunities in one of the better offenses in the league, still only 24 years old. I can move him up. I'm not sure where. I have a lot of the rookie elite receivers in front of him. Maybe somewhere around Devontae Smith, Amike Egbuka, DJ Moore. Because I think, you know, I think he could outscore DJ Moore this season. As DJ Moore has a lot more competition now to deal with and not as good of a quarterback.
DJ Moore, 28 years old. Devonta Smith, 27 years old. Both number twos in their offense. Trash man. It's always George Pickens.
Keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.